And I'm Bhakti Vrinda Swamitam, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu Vande Nityananda Saritam. This is part two, continuation of what will become an entry in Sunday Satsang, although we're having this venue during GSS. This is part two. First part was given last week. So this is part two, and a very interesting title, The Need for Female Qualities to Attain Krishna Prema. We gave the first part last week, and this is the second part, based on a book called Feminine Spirituality by a senior disciple of Sadharayan Das Prabhupada Maharaj, who's named Jayadevi Dasi, PhD. She has a PhD in Sanskrit. She's very brilliant and cultured and experienced devotional Vaishnavi, and she's a very good psychologist and writer. Her book, the basic book answers the question, what is real love? It's a very good book. So she's approaching the idea of love from the perspective of female qualities. What she brings out in her discussion is the fact that the inherent qualities that are found in most 99% of women, the inborn qualities that they naturally have of submission and compassion and affection and tenderness and mood of service and love, and actual loving, the love that women represent or have within them by nature is the reflection of really transcendental love. So men have to, but these qualities of submission and affection and compassion and care and loving attention and love itself are qualities for any sadhaka, whether they're male gender or female gender. Any sadhaka must absolutely attain these qualities if they want to attain Krishna Prema. This is a review of what we caught last week. Because in the ultimate issue, there's one Purusha, Ekala Ishvara Krishna, Arasabhya Britya, the Bengali Shoga. There's one Ishvara, one master controller. Master control switch is Bhagavan. Bhagavata, the Purusha means person. In this case, it means man. And every other jiva, jiva shakti, we're called jiva shakti, tatasya shakti. Shakti means female. Shaktiman means male. So every jiva, Nanda Maharaj is a nitya siddha parishad, and they're expanded from Krishna's body. And all the senior ladies of Vrindavan are expanded from Yashoda's body. And all the younger gopis and mandris and kinkris are expanded from Radharani's body. They're called nitya parishads. They're a different energetic capacity or designation than the tatastha shakti. Where's tatastha shakti? There's sarup shakti. So all tatastha shakti jivas, for example, Garuda is the eternal associate of Krishna, but he's in the tatastha shakti category. He's not sarup shakti. So this is one that's cited in Sandarvas. There aren't too many other ones listed who what category of shakti they are. But all jivas, whether externally they have male gender or female gender, all tatastha shakti jivatmas. We're all atmas. And the Yama is made of an energy called tatastha shakti. It's a weak, minute energy of Bhagavan. He is sarup shakti, we're tatastha shakti. So tatastha shakti, all tatastha shaktis are female. So female means you have to have male, develop female qualities. Every man and every woman in the material sense, of the chemical and physical sense, every man has masculine hormones and feminine hormones, testosterone and whatever they are. Yeah, two different ones. Women hormones and men hormones. And women have men hormones and feminine hormones. Women have more men hormones, they grow mustaches, they grow beards. Naturally, that because they have too many men hormones. I knew a girl, she's a UP Brahmin, she had a beard. And, you know, hairs would come out of her chin, she would shave off or wax them or whatever they do. And mustache, some people like, they're very hairy bodies. Women look like monkeys. Men always look like monkeys. if they're Pitta constitution, if there's Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. If they're Kapha or Vata, they don't have very less body hair, or Vata, Pitta. Like you see Brihaspati Brahmins, they have very little body hair. Men. And a lot of men now wax their chest hair and everything. You know, they do all kinds of things. So these are just chemical transformations in the body. Man has more feminine hormones. He has a high voice. He becomes a eunuch or whatever. So at one point, we're just that was a physical thing. We're talking about a metaphysical reality of Atmas. All of us are female, but they have adopted a male posture or male view, which means false ego, pride, arrogance, aggression, conquering spirit, aggression. This is male type stuff. All wars and murders and rapes are done by men, not by women, because that's all the acceleration and absorption and the so-called male qualities, which eliminates all the possibility for the latent feminine aspect to arise. So Mbaki Bhajan is so important for women to uncover their inherent spiritual qualities of gentleness, submission, surrender, affection, compassion, and love, which will help them to love Krishna and love Bhagavan. By directing that to loving Guru and loving Krishna, and men have a harder time to uncover these qualities because they may have very little percentage or next to 0%. Some men are very tough guys, you know. Oh, big man. That's great in the material world. You can be a big, aggressive, passionate, insensitive, successful businessman, but you won't be very successful on the platform. Surrender, humility, seva, submission. But a woman is not all upside down, Kali Yuga influence. She has a natural tendency to submit and to serve, to love someone who's worthy. But unfortunately, women get connected with worthless men that aren't worthy of their love, or worthy of their submission, or worthy of their service. So they live a life of frustration and go from one man to the other, searching for the ideal partner, and they end up wasting their whole life and drag a couple of kids into their sad story of bad karma. Anyway, so let's get back to the point. We're continuing with this discussion of this book. We hope to finish it today. And so this question is, according to the Vedas, what is the definition of a female? So her guru is Satyanarayana Das Babaji, and she asked the question. The scriptures, the Vedic scriptures, whenever they talk about women, they always seem to criticize women. Why do they do that? Because the superficial reading of the Vedas, it says all kinds of weird things about women. And Prabhupada's books are full of weird things about women. So when women, female ladies, you know, ladies read Prabhupada's books or any Vedic literature, they say they're all chauvinists, they're all egotists, they're all favoring men. What is with this stuff? So Guru Maharaj said, in Vedas, when it mentions woman, woman is a concept. Woman is a concept, not gender. Gender, male gender, female gender. It's not referring to female gender characteristics. He said, when women are described in Indian texts, they typically allude to Prakriti, the primal matter which the universe has created. In Sanskrit, material energy is called Prakriti, and spiritual energy is called Purusha. So you have a spiritual energy inside you, what's it called? Atma. You have Atma inside, yeah? You are Atma. That Atma is Purusha. So we're at one. We are all both, you're Atma and I'm Atma. You have a covering of your Atma, not a covering, but your Atma is energy, your Atma is stuck in place in an external gender, a model, Ferrari, Chevrolet, Porsche, whatever. So you're in a female model or male model. Almost the same. Purusha, the Atma, is part of the Absolute. When the Atma identifies with the body made of Prakriti, then that submits that identification. The Purusha remains in bondage because of ignorance of his real nature. So it's ignorance, it's gross ignorance to think I am a woman. It's total ignorance. Think I'm a man. I'm made Jivatma. I'm Atma. Yesterday I was Atma. Inside my mother's womb I was Atma. When you were two cells, did you know you were male or female? When is gender manifest in the development of the baby?
Three months.
You got a few kids you don't even know.
4 months.
Yeah, everyone's saying 3 or 4 months. Check it out anyway. So all Atmas are Purusha. So the whole Prakriti taken together is called Maya. And Maya is depicted when they want to make a picture, like a painting or a picture representative of Maya, they make it a woman. Why do they make Maya a woman? Because Maya is Prakriti. Prakriti is feminine. So feminine is a woman's feminine. But it's all a matter of perspective. Because in terms of philosophy, man is Maya for woman, and woman is Maya for man. In terms of illusion, and ability to put one in illusion, and forgetfulness of God. So the power of Maya is equal with a man, equal with a woman. Because man is Purusha, woman is also Purusha, on the atomic level, on the Atma level. You're clear or you're confused? Anyone confused? Jayati, you're confused?
You're saying Atma is Prakriti.
Wait, I'm talking to her. Wait, hold your question.
Same question.
What's your question?
Atma is Prakriti.
Atma is Prakriti. Yeah. What did I say?
But you say that Atma is Purusha.
In that, Babaji Maharaj is describing that.
Atma is Purusha.
Purusha. Yes. I don't want to know. I'm already Krishna.
Yeah.
Purusha, the self, when ignorant of his true nature, is for the Absolute. Okay. Okay, Prakriti is feminine. So the Atma is Purusha, which is equated with male. Bhagavan is Purusha, and he's Paramatma, Supreme Paramatma, he's called Purushottam, Supreme Purusha. And the Jiva is a small Atma, he's also Purusha. You're Atma, you're Purusha, I'm Purusha. We're covered by Prakriti. I'm covered by the form of Prakriti, which is called female. I'm covered by a form of Prakriti, which is called male. Is that clear? The person was called, quote, woman because of association with Prakriti. Right? Prakriti means external energy. Purusha means Atma, Paramatma, God. I'm part of God. He's Purusha, I'm Purusha. But I'm thinking I'm Prakriti, I think I'm part of the Prakriti as a male or part of Prakriti as a female. Because the energy is female. The Atma is male, okay, that's clear. So woman is Prakriti, regardless whether a person is a man or woman. In other words, woman, what is the definition of woman? Because the topic under discussion, how the Vedas describe what is female, which means what is woman. So you should be all ears. What am I? So it applies to us also. Listen before you ask all the questions. Let's develop the theme first. Don't chop it all up with 100 questions. Hear the whole paragraph, and then assimilate, meditate, reflect, and then see where the confusion is, if there is any. So in other words, the Vedas say, use the words woman. What is the definition of, quote, woman? It means one who is attached to material enjoyment rather than spiritual values. What I say?
One who is attached to the material enjoyment than valuing spiritual, than living with spiritual values.
So woman, man is woman, man can be woman, and woman can be woman. If woman thinks she's a woman, she's in the prakriti. If man thinks he's a woman, he's in the prakriti. But both are atma, or both are purusha. Anu chit and vibhu chit. Vibhu chit is a big purusha, Bhagavan Asu Truth, and Anu chit is a little purusha, jivatma. Is it clear? Seki, you have clear, you have to translate. You take away that body, there's an atma. You take away my body, there's an atma. So what's the difference between you and me? The covering. What's it made of? What's your body made of? Ice or what? No. It's made of earth, water, fire, air, ether. It's made of fat, flesh, blood, mucus, lymph. Mine's going to say anything, but things arrange here and there, a bump here, a bump there, this, that. The other thing. You become female, you become Maya, and I have my big strong muscles and everything, I become male, and I'm Maya for you, and all that stuff. It's very clear, but I like this term, I really like this idea. What's the definition of woman? Are you saying I'm woman? And then husband says, I'm woman also. The definition of woman means you're a joyer. That's wrong. The soul is not a joyer, and the soul is a servant. Who's the enjoyer? Bhagavan, Supreme Param Purusha. For little Purushas are meant to serve the big Purusha. Hey, little serfs and suitors meant to serve the king. They don't. True. So the king is God, Bhagavan. So when it is said, when the Vedic Shastras say that women are vicious, greedy, and lusty, women are nine times lustier, man, it says in Shastra, women are nine times lusty. So that's all the husbands, they don't know any Shastra, they know one sentence from some vague Manasamhitas, Manasmriti. They say, you know, I think you have five boyfriends because it says you have nine times less. She doesn't have any boyfriend. He's got himself two girlfriends. He's trying to pin his wife with this rap, you know. So he's making a very nice point because he's really a big champion of true understanding of man and woman. He's a very good teacher. So when it says women all get excited and jump up and down. Vedas are chauvinistic, they're exploiting women, they favor men, and they have a big campaign and they make a big noise about it. They're missing the whole point. He really opens up people's eyes. This he's not stupid, let's say he has a PhD in Sanskrit. She rode around the world on a bicycle wearing a sari, born in Belgium. Strong woman, huh? She doesn't know karate or anything. She had a strong connection with God. She never had any trouble. Thailand, Germany, South America, all over India. She spent 8 years in Thailand living with some guy she fell in love with. She saw his ideal love, but she wasn't satisfied at heart. She had to move on. Great book, great, amazing lady. Great teacher also. So Maya refers to men and women as they're under the illusion of prakriti and desire to enjoy. It is wrong to say that women are Maya simply because of being a female body. The concept of woman described in Vedas is indeed very difficult to understand. It's all Babaji's quotation mark. Shastra instruct in different ways, sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly. In Shastra, words can convey three meanings. Primary meaning, secondary, and implied meaning. Interesting. This is a very nice analogy through my Vishnath Chakravarti and Sitya Darpan, which is a book on poetry and whatnot, on literature. He said, Shastras can instruct, the, for example, the Vedas, they teach how they teach. They teach like a master. Do this, otherwise. The Puranas teach like a friend. Hey, you know, it'll be good for you, you know, to do it like this, it'll be good. The master says, do it or die. That's the Vedas. I mean, Shruti's Upanishad. Puranas are more mellow. Oh, yeah, I should do this. Yeah, what if I don't do that? You know, it's not so good, but, you know. Yeah. So now, so the Puranas teach like a friend. The Vedas, Shrutis, Upanishads teach like a master. How does the Srimad Bhagavatam teach? Asking a question, no answer?
Lover.
You got it. What do you say?
Lover.
Lover.
What's the lover? You ever had one? The Bhagavatam teaches like a lover. This is in Tavasandarbha commentary spoken by Satyanarayana Das in 1995 in Jiva Institute, footnoted. So we're going on to explain the concept of woman. Bhavaji expresses anguish over the injustice being caused by many misinterpretations and applications of Shastra, saying, here's a quotation, with a proper understanding of Shastra, you will realize it doesn't matter whether you are male or female, both are equally eligible for ultimate liberation. That's the bottom line. This lady, that as I said, what is the female principle? Female, forget about gender and body distinction. We're going way beyond that in this discussion. That's what we're saying. The need for developing female qualities to attain Krishna Prem. This need is equally applies to women and men. Men need to develop female qualities to attain Krishna Prem. If they don't, they'll never attain Krishna Prem. So, women is an attitude. This is the author, Jayadevi, speaking. I began to see more clearly that women are not women per se, and men are not men. Women is an attitude that is equivalent to Maya and is equally applicable to males and females. In other words, if a male has an attitude to enjoy material energy, just enjoy and not serve Bhagavan, he's a female. Female attitude, female bhav, female sentiment. And woman, the same thing. I remember reading how the sage Narada Muni became a woman to teach everyone how to overcome the illusions of Maya in the world. This and that. Okay, go on. Let's see what else we got here. When the Shastras talk about one should be detached from women, what does it mean? What? One at a time.
Detached from sense enjoyment. From the tendency of sense enjoyment.
That's correct. The word woman does not refer to women as persons, as atmas or persons in female bodies, but it indicates everything that distracts the mind from Purusha, from spirit. Anything and everything that distracts your mind from Purusha, which means Atma and Paramatma, or Spirit, which means Krishna, is woman. So it happens to take a form like this, or in now's crazy age, men are more attracted to men than women. So that form of the man is taking your mind, obviously, way, way from Krishna. That man is woman or Maya. I go in them. When scriptures speak indirectly and talk about, quote, women being Maya, they are speaking about Prakriti, not to denigrate or put down women, but as a message for everyone, male and female. So this is Jayadevi's conclusion. I saw how Shastra did not directly criticize men for their innate weakness for women, but it spoke instead indirectly, saying that women are Maya in an indirect way of reminding men of their strong attraction for women and the dangers that they present for their spiritual well-being. The intention is not to criticize women, but to warn men. That's very interesting. Men say that women are Maya, they're covered well, they're, you know, all these different illusions. They're a well in the field covered with grass. You fall in that abandoned well in the field, you go 100 feet in the ground, you yell for help, no one hears you, die. So women are compared to a dried up well in the field. What's this, man? I'm a Miss Universe, you call me a dried up water well in the field. If you're a woman, you say, these scriptures are all bastards, they're all being kind. But it's not about women at all, it's about men. Be careful, you stupid. Explanation here. This lady heard this part of the scripture and she discussed it with her guru and got a completely different understanding than she got by reading herself. And she reads the scriptures in Sanskrit, not translated in English. She translates herself so she knows what she's reading. Another verse of Shastra that's misunderstood by many people says, women are 2 times more hungry than men. They have 4 times more intelligence.
No.
Who wins all the spelling bees in high school and grammar school? The women always win all the spelling bees. Who wins all the math competition? Men win the math competition. They have endurance 6 times. They can carry on a task 6 times longer than men. Men poop out. Women go 6 times more. This is Shastra. Now this is a clincher. They have 8 times more calm than men. So a very interesting description of this is going to come up now. Get ready for this. First of all, when the scriptures say women are 8 times more calm, calm means desire. 8 times more desire. Because the word for woman in Sanskrit is what?
Stri.
Stri. Stri means expand. So now he explains. This verse of Shastra is usually used to put down women. It's used that way. They're lustier, they're greedier, they're this, that. But the real intention, that's why I say we have to understand the intention of the author. What is the author really trying to say? The intention of the author is not to criticize or put down women, but to praise women. All this 2, 4, 6, 8 is to praise a woman. They're 2 times more determined, they're 2 times more desirous of helping others, and you'll see how it unfolds. It becomes clear when we understand the author's intention. So when you're reading a book, you don't know the author's intention, you get the wrong idea, wrong meaning, and wrong understanding. In Vedic culture, extra facilities are given to women to honor and facilitate the special duties that they bear in caring for others. It says that women eat 2 times more than men. Does that mean they're pigs or they're gluttons? No. Why does it say that? It means that women eat twice as much because pregnant women eat for 2 people, not for 1. Very interesting. Envious, bigoted conditional photo of ignorant man will say, you're like a big say, Masarita said, you eat two times more. All my money's going into your belly. Women have four times more intelligence than men because it is their intelligence and wisdom that cultivates the intelligence and moral character of the children, family, and society. So women, with their extra intelligence, they need that to teach their children and their husbands and society the proper way of behavior and culture. Adiguru Mata. They say Adiguru Mata. What does that mean? The original guru is mother. Adi means origin. Adiguru Mata. Very interesting. The women also need four times more intelligence to know the dangers in the world and how to act in any given situation to protect themselves and their children. Women are very clever in how to protect themselves in danger. Men freak out. They get all excited, want to start fighting. Where's the gun? I'll fight. Women say, no, there's 100 guys, there's only 5 of us. We have to go, we have to do this, we have to go that. Had to escape, had to hide over here. I know, I'll fight him. Men act irrationally in danger. Men and women have, because more, four times more intelligence means four times more sense control. Man freaks out and wants a gun. He wants to take his shotgun, 100 shots, and fight 10 guys attacking him. A woman says, no, I know we can escape. We go this way. Let's go now. So a man's pumped up, doesn't listen to her, everybody gets slaughtered. Husband gets shot off, and wife gets shot off, all the kids get blown up. Happens all the time. Men don't listen to women. That's the biggest problem in the world. So they don't take advantage of their extra intelligence and insight, and it's their failure. They should work together to help each other. But men are too puffed up to submit to women. That's the biggest problem in marriage relationships. A man has got a great gold mine in a woman, but he thinks she's a stupid woman. Because of ego. Oh man. Anyway, another man. Poof. Blow him right away. Yeah. They're just being kind to you. They have 6 times more courage than a man. That's pretty cool. Usually a man's macho, hero. I'm courageous. Courageous means, you know what courageous means? You know what courage means?
Oh, yeah.
Man wants to run hide, woman fights. They have more courage. Why? Because it's the nature of women to give themselves, to offer themselves for the benefit of others. That is, women are selfless, men are selfish. If something comes, push comes to shove, the man will run away from the kids and wife to save himself. Is there anyone listening or no one's listening?
Yeah.
If danger comes, the man will run away, leave his wife and kids and run away to save himself. The woman will take the kids and take the husband and try to run away with others because he thinks of others. Men never think of anybody but themselves. Sorry to give the bad news. Generally speaking. Last line verse says, women have 8 times more desires. These desires, 8 times more, are not only for herself. She has 1 desire for herself and 7 times more desire to protect the children, help the children, provide the children. Very interesting twist. So not just for herself, she has all the desires to help and facilitate the needs to provide for her dependents. So she's thinking, I have to take care of my son, provide for him, my daughter, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my husband. She's thinking of so many people, so her desires are her own desires, plus desires of 4 or 5 other people, because 8 times more desires. Very interesting explanation. Taking the word kama is desire and not lust, and that's what the shastras mean. It's misinterpretation to take it otherwise. The word kama does not mean sexual lust, but refers to general desires. General desire. Not even desires for man or woman, just desires as a category. Married women have more needs because they're responsible for taking care of more people, their family members and household. Single women also need more facilities, while men can move around the world, easily take care of themselves without concern over their safety. Women have to take extra precautions against the ever-present dangers of being attacked, raped, and other ways they can be exploited. So they need extra facility for their protection, and also provide for themselves in a world where the material resources and earning capacity are controlled mostly by men. This is a really slow-moving book here. There's not that much to go on, but it takes a lot of energy. That was about having correct understanding of Shastra. It's interesting stuff.
Yes,
Guru. It's pretty amazing. Pretty broad-minded perspective. Veda Shastra is deep, boy. All the stupid people are trying to look at them and understand sort of filter their conditioning and bigotry, they can't pick it up.
Like something here is like, in the before section you were saying women means someone who is having desire to enjoy this material world. Now women means those who are actually taking care of the family and all. Like, we have to know these things only from Guru, otherwise we get...
I was amazed at the deep psychological insight into humanity that's hidden in the Vedic Shastras. I reread the Shastras, but this time from a totally different perspective. I could understand how these sacred books were not compiled by men with the purpose to criticize or take advantage of women. They were written by realized sages whose intention was to raise the spiritual consciousness of humanity. Very far. Then my whole outlook changed. I now saw that the majority of people, both males and females, were all acting and behaving like women, in a sense, in the Vedic Shastras. They're all bewildered by Maya, desire for enjoyment. It became clear to me that many of the Shastras of India have been misinterpreted due to lack of knowledge or with a bad intention to exploit women. Very interesting stuff, right? Oh, that's 18, right? Vedic scriptures repeatedly uphold and honor women and have many provisions for her protection and ability to choose her path in life. In later times, decline in the status of women infiltrated people's understanding and brought masculine-oriented concepts into certain religious schools. The Vedic sages, the original Vedic sages, on the other hand, were concerned with the spiritual enlightenment of humanity, and the purpose of the scriptures was to create an environment that supported such enlightenment. They're not bigoted, chauvinistic men like modern-day women accused the ancient sages. The core wisdom expounded in ancient Vedas honors the essential feminine as an ultimate key to liberation, female qualities. What is perceived as being bound or in bondage to traditional values actually is a platform on which one can become transcendental. It's really a good book, White. Fantastic. Okay, the Transcendental Female Principle. Every human being has to understand their ultimate feminine divine, female divine nature. to accept that one is part of a higher reality. The Shastra explains how the Absolute is beloved and all living entities are his lovers. They're all lovers of Krishna. Krishna Prem. In other words, we're all females in relation to Krishna. It is very difficult for men to acknowledge their female nature and to accept that they're under control of a greater power. The masculine ego lacks the spontaneous and receptive mood of the female. That's a good idea. Point number five, continuing. This is a very interesting idea. Try to stay awake if you're sleeping, stand up or whatever. Lord Chaitanya experienced the feminine mood of Radha's amorous devotion to Krishna. Krishna himself said, I need the mood means Bhav. He wanted Radha's Bhav, Radha's mood, the female mood. He's Purusha, he wants the Prakriti mood. That's our God wants to be a woman. Our God wants female qualities. Very interesting idea about the Rishi Tanya you never thought about in 10,000 years. Krishna is the only male in the spiritual world. Everyone else, either if they're male or female or former, are considered female. I said this so many times. Ananda Maharaj is also a woman. Sridhar Subhadra is also a woman. They also have female Bhav because Krishna is the only enjoyer. Everyone's serving him. Bhav is serving him. He's in Dasya Bhav and Vasaya Bhav mixed. Nanda Maharaj is serving, everyone's serving Krishna. So the served is the enjoyer is Krishna, the enjoyer is a male, Purusha, and the enjoyer is a female. So everyone's a female, oh, they have a male form. I have a male form, but I'm enjoyed by Krishna. I serve Krishna. You have a female form, you're enjoyed by Krishna, serving Krishna. This is a very liberating concept. It liberates us from the Maya, this bodily bondage. If we realize that we live it, we'll be very joyful, very crazily happy. I look around my room when we're giving class, and people are not getting it. If you get it, you fly. 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse 34, describes female qualities. This class is about the need for female qualities to attain Krishna Prem, right? Part 2. This is a four-line verse. The second two lines apply to female qualities. Kirti, Shri, Vak, Narinam. Nari means?
Female.
What does Nara mean?
Men.
Who's Narahari?
Half man, half lion.
Narahari.
Narasimha Deva.
Come on, Jack. Hari in Sanskrit means thief, lion, Bhagavan.
Monkey
also. Yeah. They're all the same. Monkeys are like Bhagavan, and they steal, and they act like lions. So, rah, rah. Monkey, Hari means monkey. So, Kirti, Shri, Vak, Narinam, Sriti, Meda, Driti, Shama. What's the translation? Kirti, these are all feminine gender qualities, masculine and feminine. So all these female qualities are needed by men to attain Krishna Prem. These are inherent and natural to women. Obvious in a woman's body. Kirti means fame. The most famous human beings on the planet are women. Pop singers, movie stars, women are very famous. Kirti. There's a whole long explanation of each of these words in Sanskrit also. Kirti means fame. Shri means beauty. Women have beautiful bodies and represent beauty. The goddess of beauty is a man or a woman. The god of beauty is who? Who? How do I say beauty? She's not a god, not a deity. Saraswati. Saraswati represents music, dance, beauty, speech, tantra, mantra, sanghi, many things. Saraswati. As far as heavenly beauty, they say Parvati is the most beautiful woman in the universe. Lakshmi's not in the universe, she's in Parvyom. She's in the spiritual world. Lakshmi's the most beautiful woman in the spiritual world. Of all the Lakshmi's, Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Radharani is the most beautiful. So the most beautiful woman in the material and spiritual world is
Radharani
ki jai. Shri, Vak, we talk. Shriti.
Remembrance.
Memory power. 1 + 2 + 3 + 4 = 5. How much? Duh. Meta. Intelligence. So memory is a function of intelligence. So you have memory means you have buddhi. So they have buddhi saying, it says meta, sumedasa. Dhriti. Dhriti means courage. The word dhri, it means fortitude, strength, determination, dhruva. Ever heard of dhruva? He was a pretty determined guy. He took all the air and all the prana in the universe, put it in his belly. He was choking to death. He was determined. He's just such a, yeah, dhriti. Dhriti means determination, courage. Whatever courage. How about this one? Shama. K-S-H-A-M-A. What does Shama mean?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Women forget, forgive and move on. Men don't forgive, they don't move on. Okay, we're on page 112. Okay, we'll continue.